special guest tonight is guitarist, recording artist, and WICN's own music host of Jazz Highways, Joe Cicero. And we're here to talk about his new recording, Just Joe. Joe, welcome to the show. It's a pleasure, as always, to talk to you.
Well, it's a pleasure to talk to you, and thank you for having me on.
Well, it's sort of weird. For people who don't know us, we see each other a lot in Monday mornings. And so to do a formal interview with you does seem a little odd, but you've earned it.
Thank you.
Is this your first, like, recording?
Yes and no. It's my first solo recording. I did a recording in 2008 with Wes Dilling, which actually I just released on Spotify and all of the major streaming services kind of a history, and Wes had recently passed, and
right.
He's a great musician and songwriter, and a lot of the songs we did together, they were all originals, and I thought the world needed to hear Wes also, so I put that on.
Well, let's talk about that in Just Joe. If people listening to us today want to obtain a copy of your album and this previous album, what's the best way to do that?
Well, right now I'm in the process of putting a website together with a PayPal. Which, my website is going to be justjoecicero.com.
Okay.
You can always get one at one of my shows. And it is available for sale, I believe, on all of the major streaming services.
And you can even get it on Amazon. I mean, I found it on Amazon.
Yeah, Amazon and physical copies. They do have it at Union Music in Worcester.
But why not go out and see Joe?
Well, that's a great, great reason, you know, to come out and see me, because I do have them for sale at my shows.
Now, talk to me about recording this album. What was the impetus to finally put something out that was just you?
Well, I have been playing out for a long time.
Oh, I know that.
A lot of different people. And these are songs that I wrote throughout my life, really. Don't You Know, I think, was one of the first songs I wrote when I was maybe 20.
Whoa!
And when I played with Wes, we had, you can see, like, there were six tunes that are on the Wes and Joe album that I actually re-recorded solo on the Just Joe album. And then, you know, you play out, you write songs, you get creative, and these are 12 originals that I've been playing out for a long time, and I wanted to put them out that people wanted to listen to, and also to document where you are. And it's art, I guess, and this was my resume to that point.
I am surprised. You play out a lot. Like, I see your name a lot. Is that an easy gig? Or is that I have not, never having played in a band, never having played, let alone solo. What's it like to play out and play gigs?
Well, it goes by really fast to me. I really enjoy it. It's one of the things of doing something you really love for 3 hours. And it's a great, great way to be able to go out and enjoy yourself and do that.
So you're having fun? I'd be scared.
Oh, absolutely.
Do people make requests?
Oh, yeah. I play every Wednesday in Maynard at the Aviva Trattoria. I got a good following there, and people
know my
set list. And a lot of people come and see me a lot, and I play at Val's at Holden a lot, and certain places once a month that people will come by and request songs off my sign list. And, you know, always learn more songs or different songs if people request them enough. I'll try, if I can do them solo, do them. So that's always fun. And I love to play guitar. I play harmonica, and it's a good way to actually do my songs. I try to do 2 out of 10 songs. I'll try to do my own songs.
What covers did you do?
Let
me put it this way. What's your favorite cover that you think you do the best?
Oh, I have a big set list. I do Rolling Stones.
Oh my God!
You know,
so this is
right in your wheelhouse. I get a good response for playing Stones. I do Babe, I'm Gonna Leave You, Led Zeppelin. I do Jethro Tull. I do Tom Petty. I do the Eagles.
Now, I have to say that when I've listened to your Jazz Highways, every once in a while it seems like stuff like that gets snuck into the playlist.
Well,
I it was just the other day. You played Chicago, Steely Dan, NRBQ's Cecilia. I think that was that from last week or something. That it was funny because just Monday night, Tom Shaker and I were talking just before I went on the air after him, and he was saying that was one of his favorite covers was NRBQ's Cecilia.
Well, it's pretty funny. I grew up with jazz. My dad took me to a lot of shows. He always had music on. As you know, on the Jazz Highway, I take in 19 boxes of CDs.
Oh, it's incredible to see. It's amazing.
And my dad's. And,
he brings an entire record library with him.
It's right now, if you look at like Chicago, the Allman Brothers, Steely Dan, they are jazz influenced. And mm-hmm. people don't realize there's jazz in there. And you talk about NRBQ with the horns and the arrangement.
Yep, yep.
It's, how is it not jazz? How can you say that the Allman Brothers, if you're listening to in memory of Elizabeth Reed, is not jazz influence or Steely Dan?
Steely Dan was always mostly jazz to begin with and then became almost entirely jazz in the later albums. I think from Aja onwards, they were basically mostly jazz.
Right, and they had some great players that played with them.
Oh, my
also.
God. Hey, I want to talk to you about growing up with your father, because you've mentioned to me many times how important your father and your father's knowledge and taste in music has been to form yours. Talk to me about that.
Well, my father was a jazz addict, and he would always have, at home, have a record on, or WICN, and which is how I got introduced to WICN from my dad. But he brought me to see a lot of shows. I've seen Stan Kenton.
Oh, wow.
Sinatra. Count
Wait Bates, a minute.
Woody
you got
Herman.
To see Sinatra?
Twice.
How old were you?
I was young. I was
going to say, you're a young kid. Yeah.
And he used to bring me to a lot of shows up the El Morocco.
Oh, yeah. Those were the shows. Those were the days.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I have a lot of fond memories of going there and listening to music. But, you know, then, you know,
was your father also musical, though? Did he play an instrument?
He did not. He did not. But the hook was set. And I started playing guitar very young. And, you know, playing a lot of basic chords, you know, Eagles, Neil Young, some of that Beatles. And then you just keep on going from there.
Okay, I'm going to delve deeper into the young Joe Cicero. Was it your first guitar an acoustic or an electric?
Yes. I love doing that. My first guitar was given to me. It was an electric, and it wasn't a very good guitar.
Do you remember what it was exactly?
It was a Pisa.
Okay.
A piece of crap.
We need a rim shot after that.
Right. But, you know, as I started playing, I realized it wasn't something. The action was terrible. The neck was bent.
Yeah.
And then I realized that I had to actually get a decent guitar. So I did, and it made a world of difference.
Still an electric guitar or an acoustic?
Well, I have acoustics, which I play out with.
Okay.
We jam with friends, and I was in a blues band. I have a few electrics, too. Can never have enough guitars.
See, this is a side of you I didn't know about. So talk to me about the makes of your guitars. Do you have a favorite guitar?
I have a Martin that I like playing out. I like a Taylor. Have a couple of Fenders that I really like.
Oh, man.
You know, it's just,
wait a minute. How many guitars do you have?
More than I'd like to tell my wife.
Ba-doom.
Ba-doom. Right.
That's a lot of guitars, Joe.
Well, it's there are different guitars for different sounds and different feelings, and the necks are different, and It's just that everyone has, I have a friendship with everyone.
I can imagine. Let's get back to the album, Just Joe. These 12, yes. 12 cuts. So did you have to whittle it down from a larger group of songs that you wanted to record?
No, those are the 12 at that time. I actually started working on that project a couple of years ago, and it took a little bit more time. The studio that I went to originally wasn't doing it anymore, and I had to go through somebody else. And so it took a little while, but to get that album out. Actually, at this point, I have my second album that is just about finished, with 12 other originals. And those were songs that basically I did after that particular album.
What's it going to be called? More Just Joe?
No. My friend Ken came up with, who actually did all the illustrations on the album, the first album, Footprints in the Snow, because the next album is actually songs I've written about friends or people or situations of people, and that reflects to where they are or where they were in their life. So they're kind of
nice
footprints of friends in situations, I guess.
Talk to me about songwriting. When did that come to you as a thing that you do as an art? Like, again, there are artists that I talk to that I don't do. I've never written a song. And so when I hear songs that people have written, I'm actually sort of in awe of the fact that you're able to do that. Talk to me about the songwriting process for you.
Well, these first songs that I had, I was basically, I grew up with jazz, but I fell in love with blues.
Yeah.
And I used to listen to a lot of blues and play along with blues, and that a lot of that blues progression comes out in that first album. When you listen to Boogie On Down to Joe's,
yeah, I'd love
Friday
that.
Songs,
yeah,
Shirts and Shoes, they're basic blues progressions, and that's kind of playing along with Nate Kramer and Holly Harris all those years when I was playing onto their shows. That's kind of where I started from, that basic blues stuff.
Are you laying down the notes first and then the lyrics? Or I mean, how's the songwriting happening for you?
Mostly it's music. Then like some of the songs that I'm doing now and some of the later songs on the Just Joe album, I get a chord progression that I really feel comfortable with that I think works, and then a lot of times the lyrics will come later on. But there are certain songs where you look at different situations and the words come, and then the music that goes along with it comes on afterwards.
Do you sit down and purposely try to write a song? I mean, do you like carve out like an hour in a day and go, you know, right now I'm going to try to write?
Yeah, you know, it just, the first album, a lot of stuff did come out that way. I would sit down and think about different things or different words to put down. And then a lot of times you get inspiration just in daily life or confronting people or friends in different situations that words just come to you. And I'm always...
It's like one of those things where you're writing it down on a napkin and then filing it away for future reference?
Yeah, there's many a time that I have gotten up in the middle of the night where words were in your head, because if you don't write it down, or
excellent.
I don't
excellent.
Anyway, many people could probably do it, but I have to go and write it down or I'll forget. And I thought, wow, that was really good. What was that? What was the quote?
Oh, God. Yeah. You're listening to WISN 90.5 FM. This is Inquiry. My name is Mark Lynch. My guest tonight is guitarist, recording artist, WICN's own music host of Jazz Highways, Joe Cicero. And we're talking about his latest album, Just Joe. Talk to me about the challenges of getting the music out. It's not like it used to be in the old days.
Oh, no. It's just... what I do is I try to promote it as much as I can on social media. And obviously when I go to shows, that's the best way is to let people know what songs are originals, where they can find them. I do always have CDs for sale at my shows, but I think less and less people actually have CD players in their cars or in their houses that they're using.
I still do. I still have a DVD player, so I'm old school. Right, you need to release it. You really need to release an LP is what you need to do to be hip.
Right, right. I think a lot of people, too, aren't doing albums anymore.
I miss albums. You grew up with albums, didn't you?
That's exactly what I grew up in, and that's why...
I loved the writing, the notes, the pictures on albums, and I miss that with MP3s.
Well, if you look at it, like a good LP, you know, I have a collection of classic albums. I have my dad's jazz album, and you sit there and we'll have friends over and listen to vinyl and either a classic rock or have a jazz night or whatever, and you pull out the jackets and you read the liner notes that's inside.
Yeah. Well, especially for jazz albums, the artwork on the covers of jazz albums, some of those are collector's items.
Oh, yeah. It was.
When I think of Blue Note albums, the art on the covers of them were absolutely amazing. And you miss all that with an MP3.
You absolutely do. It's really small when you're trying to read it. And if you kind of get the graphics, so somebody can read it in a small print compared to an LP, a long, you know, that was a big jacket.
A lot of people may not know that you were a biology teacher.
No, I had worn a lot of hats.
And actually, most of our conversations have less to do with music than more to do with what's happening outside. I got to ask you, were you still playing while you were a biology teacher?
I've been playing probably since I was junior high.
Oh, my God.
You know, that's where I, you know, got my Eagles Made Easy, my Beatles, you know, playing that. I don't know. A lot of people don't realize I owned a scuba shop for years. And
Where did you own a scuba shop?
Well, it's still on Shrewsbury Street. I sold it to some of my instructors. But every weekend we'd go up and we'd camp out, and I'd have my guitar by the camp out and start playing. Back in those days, a few people would have beverages, and I always said that, you know, the drunker you were back then, the better I sounded. But I got better.
So did you scuba off Cape Ann? Because
I used to take a lot of my checkout dives up to Rockport.
Yep, yep.
Sometimes to Newport.
Yep.
Got to travel and dive. That was one of the hats.
And that's still a big part of your life now is natural history.
Oh, absolutely. I think once you're a biologist, you're always a biologist. And you're always concerned about what's going on. And as you know, I'm out there listening to birds all the time.
It's amazing. People only knew the conversations that we had. Like I said, it's not about music. It's about natural history, which I've always appreciated the fact that we can have those conversations.
Yeah, it's just a lot of my best friends are biologists.
That's cool. Do they show up at your gigs though?
They do, actually. They do. And it's just some of the best conversations I have are about birds, fish, and plants and everything else going on. And especially people need to be aware of what's going on right now, the planet is changing. And we really have to start being aware. And people need to be aware of how delicate the planet is, as you know.
Now, you see more. I know you're that way because we talk all the time. I'm amazed. It hasn't shown up in your music, though.
There is a tune on my second album that is that actually does.
It does.
One, the work, World is on Fire.
Yep.
What's going on with climate change? There's another one that's basically about appreciating nature, going to the beaches, going to the mountains, and there's a tune like that on the album. So. That's coming up in the second album, Footprints in the Snow.
I want to talk to you about how you came to WICN. Now, you said that, you know, with your father, you used to listen to WICN. How did you actually get here?
Well, I had just retired from teaching. I had just left, and my wife's family is from Southern Illinois, a farm, and I went out for a couple weeks to help out on the farm, mend fences and do some bark mulching and whatever. And while I was there, I got a phone call from Mauro DiPasquale.
Yep.
This is my cousin. And he said he just basically left a message. Are you interested in promoting jazz from 9 to 12, Monday through Friday? And promoting jazz, that's all. And I says, absolutely. So I gave him a call, and he told me what was going on. And I came to WICN, and here I am.
Oh, my God. What was it like? What's it like for people who don't know what it's like to DJ? What was it like for the first time you DJed?
Well, there's a lot to it. And
people have no idea. I like when people call and try to keep you on the phone for like 15 minutes, thinking that you're just doing everything like automatically. They have no idea what goes on behind the mic.
Well, sometimes it's like juggling knives.
It is.
Getting the next song queued up, getting ready to do your spots at 20, 35, and 50, and getting ready to get to do the weather and everything else that's going on. And yes, some people give a call in, and you do want to talk to everybody.
Sure, and I think people love to talk to you for a long period of time. But realize I'm on doing a rock show where the cuts are a lot shorter, and it's really impossible to talk to somebody when you're doing that.
Oh, absolutely. But, you know, you don't want to be rude. You appreciate the phone calls. You appreciate people.
Well, especially
listening.
The first time you're on the air for the first couple of weeks, you get your first couple of phone calls that you realized that people were actually listening?
I was surprised that people were, and many people were listening, relatives and friends.
Yep,
and,
yep.
It's really funny. I don't really talk much about the radio when I play out. It's kind of when I'm on the radio, I don't really talk much about
playing out.
You know, gigs are playing out. And I had somebody that came up and says, "Are you any relation to the Joe Cicero on WICN?" Well, yeah. Yes, I am.
Why it so happens that
I do know him.
I do know him really well. Well, you know, I want to recommend your show because what I like about shows like yours and like Michelle's and stuff like that is that it's got a fairly flexible idea about what jazz is. And it incorporates a lot of different kinds of sounds. You do a lot of traditional stuff, like a lot of Sinatra. But you also do, as we mentioned before, you know, NRBQ and other things. And that makes it really interesting and a fun show.
What I try to do is, you know, look at what jazz is. And for, you know, people that have been listening to jazz and for a long time, they'll enjoy the show. And a lot of new listeners, maybe that didn't realize that some of the stuff they were listening to as a kid was actually jazz influenced.
Right.
And so that stuff is coming up. And you try to share jazz with new listeners. And that's what I like people to see. I'd like to see people, hey, let's give this a chance. This actually is pretty good, you know. And if people, I think, grow up into what jazz is, you know, there's certain music that's out there, and then all of a sudden they hear us. Well, that is jazz, I guess. There isn't jazz in a lot of stuff that we listen to now.
Yeah, I don't know if there's a clear definition of what jazz is anymore. I've done some interviews on that. And the consensus seems to be that it's more of a marketing term than anything else, that nobody can tell you really what jazz is specifically. But and there are a lot of artists nowadays that are called jazz artists, but they're really stretching the envelope incredibly. Now, we're going to run out of time. I was reading the interview that you have online here at WICN. You were talking about your favorite albums, and I wanted to talk to you about two of them. Richard Thompson, Rumor Inside. Talk to me about that album. I love that album.
Well, Richard Thompson, you talk about a songwriter.
Yeah, I know.
His stories, I mean, the first time you hear Vincent Black Lightning, 1952, I get emotional.
Right, right.
And, I try to do homage of the song. Obviously, I can't play like Richard Thompson, but it's a song where you actually get emotional when you hear it, even when other people cover it. And The Richie Thompson is the best guitarist that no one knows about.
I was going to say, it's amazing how few people know his name today.
And he is tremendous. If you ever get a chance to see him and see him solo acoustic and just be amazed at the way the man plays, just look up some of the stuff on YouTube. It's a wow.
And I love is the Allman Brothers live at the Fillmore. What a classic rocker.
Well, is that not the best live album of all time?
No.
It is
no.
The best.
We're not going to get into this argument, Joe, because I will have a huge argument about this.
Well, yeah. That's the Columbus. Little Feet is a good album, too. And
oh, my God. There are so many. That's the kind of thing that you would start more arguments than agreements. The best live album. We're almost out of time. Just Joe is available on a lot of different venues. You can always, the best way to pick it up would be go to see Joe at his regular gigs. His regular gigs are, Joe?
Yeah, Just Joe. I promote all my shows on my Facebook page, Just Joe Cicero. I promote all the shows there. And starting soon, I'll be promoting everything on the website also. We're just getting that put together right now, and there will be a spot on the website that you can buy albums, and I even have a Just Joe t-shirt.
Is it the cover photo? Is it the cover photo for the album?
It is.
That's a nice photo. That's a choice photo. That's a really beautiful photo. People are going to need to get there. My guest tonight is guitarist, recording artist, and WICN's own music host of Jazz Highways, Joe Cicero. We've been talking about his new album. A second album is coming out, but the new one is called Just Joe. Joe, it's been a pleasure.
Well, it's always a pleasure to talk to you, Mark.
Yeah, I know.
Always
so
a pleasure.
We just happened to record this one. You're listening to WICN 90.5 FM. This is Inquiry. My name is Mark Lynch. Good night.